happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Hello. Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hump.
I'm Ann Northrup. Here we are. Gay USA is here.
In the news.
Yeah.
You saw Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson this week. Well, and the fact that she was challenged by Republicans on same-sex marriage, trans youth, and sex offenders.
They're just shameless, those Republicans. And we will name them. Republican governors in Utah and Iowa, however, have vetoed bills that ban participation by trans girls in girls' sports. It may or may not hold up.
And a trans swimmer, Leah Thomas at Penn, wins one race and loses two at the NCAA. Sounds like a song.
Championships, yes. Disney employees staged a walkout this week over the company's handling of Don't Say Gay and Trans Bill in Florida and elsewhere.
Russia is keeping lesbian basketball star Brittany Griner in jail, but we have an update.
A good update. But bad news, a leading LGBTQ activist in Kharkiv is killed in Russia's assault on Ukraine.
A gay couple in Kentucky won a lawsuit against Kim Davis. You remember her? She was the clerk who denied them a marriage license 7 years ago.
And Jussie Smollett has gotten out of jail pending his appeal.
Okay. So we start at the Supreme Court, and this has been on the news all week, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson being grilled by Republicans, hectored, really, about her by Senator Cornyn about marriage equality. He, by the way, he called the marriage decision Obergefell, not Obergefell.
Well, close enough. But really, there's Ketanji Brown Jackson with a lot of dignity in the hearing, and her daughter there on the right, very lovely. And I'm not sure I'd want to be her daughter sitting there hearing what all those Republicans were saying.
Well, look, the big Republican line is, you know, with things like Obergefell and other things, it's like, are you going to legislate from the bench, or are you going to just, enforce the Constitution? But the thing is, they have no objections when the Supreme Court overturns the Voting Rights Act, which they, the Congress, voted for with about two dissents. But, oh, no, that's fine.
Well, of course, there's no logic. There's a lot of hypocrisy. It's all grandstanding. It's all an attempt to gin up their election chances in the midterms this year and the presidential election in 24.
Well,
but it is so slimy and disgusting to have to listen to them go after her with all these manipulated, incorrect, misquoted, inappropriate questions. It just makes your skin crawl.
The big one that they're trying to get her on is she had to rule as a federal judge in several child porn cases, possession of child porn. And in some cases, she gave lower sentences than the was requested by the prosecutors. And the case they focused on, an 18-year-old kid, and, you know, we had these things on his computer, and look, I'm not defending, obviously, any of child pornography, and some of the stuff that they talk about is awful. But she didn't want to ruin his life for the rest of his life. And of course, if he gets on the sex offense registry, his life is ruined anyway, no matter how long a sentence he gets. But this is what judges have to do. And everybody is reevaluating these things about the length of sentence and the internal sentence and all those kinds of things around that.
And clearly she's a serious person who looked at each of these cases individually and looked at all the factors and made a decision. And as was said in Wednesday's hearing, her sentences were in line with 80% of the judges who make these decisions. But they don't care about that. They just want to exploit any buzzwords they can. So they're going after her on that. And Lindsey Graham is so out of his mind in the way he's yelling at her and accusing her and just being such a hypocrite. And yes, John Cornyn went after her on marriage, and it's all about, don't you think people have a right to their religious freedom?
Well, speaking of marriage, and it wasn't in the hearing, but U.S. Senator Mike Braun, Republican of Indiana, not only went after the Supreme Court on Obergefell about same-sex marriage and Roe v. Wade, but he said the court was wrong to overturn Virginia's ban on interracial marriage.
Now you're distorting.
Hold it. I'm going to finish up. Loving versus Virginia. He was carefully questioned about this, and he said, well, you know, we have to be consistent about it. About these things, and we should leave it to the states. And if it means that you have to go from one state to another and you're married in one, you're married in another, that's the beauty, he said, of federalism. When it was kind of presented to him by his staff, oh, you can't do that, he backtracked. He condemns racism, but he doesn't condemn homophobia. So what? Loving v. Virginia is now okay with him, but not Obergefell.
Well, but it doesn't make him unique. But the argument, as you know, for overturning Obergefell and overturning Roe v. Wade is that these should be states' issues and should be decided state by state.
And it what is about just, Loving v. Virginia? What about Brown v. Board?
He took back what he said about Loving v. Virginia. But the point is, we live in the United States of America. And if we have different laws in different states, it's not going to work. And all of these Republican senators are refusing to deal with the fact that these cases were decided constitutionally on the basis of equal protection of the laws and due process. And none of that is something they will talk about or admit to. And I am just sorry that none of the Democrats are sitting there saying this stuff. It's infuriating to me, but they just sit there saying, you know, they try to make up for some of it, but they are just counting on her being approved. But meanwhile, all this poison is being poured out into the public airwaves.
Well, they just want to get through this. I mean, Ben Sasse, who tries to be the reasonable Republican from Nebraska, cheerfully compared the hearing to a proctology exam. Well, that wasn't very nice.
It wasn't very original either.
No, but the Republican National Committee are running ads equating KJB, Ketanji Jackson Brown, with CRT, critical race theory. I mean,
Brown Jackson, not Jackson Brown.
Sorry. Right. KBG. BJ. KBJ. We'll get it. LBJ. JFK. CRT. So, she was asked by Martha Blackburn, is that the senator from Kentucky?
Oh, my God, what a disaster.
Who went after her and said, you know, why is critical race theory, why are you incorporating that into your decisions as part of the law? I mean, you know, I didn't get to see her response on that. I just saw the clip. It's unbelievable.
And she went on and on and on about abortion, too. And so did Mike Lee of Utah. And they're just... they're shameless. I've been watching it. It's very, very difficult to watch.
When Judge Jackson Brown took her seat and started her testimony, she did her thank yous to her family. But the first person she thanked, I thank God. That was her thing. It was her big display. And then Graham starts grilling her on, how often do you go to church? What religion are you? And, that, you know, he thinks he's being smart because he thinks this is the way they went after Amy Coney Barrett. But it was ugly.
It was ugly. And the Amy Coney Barrett questioning was because Amy Coney Barrett does bring her religion into her judicial philosophy. And Ketanji Brown Jackson was quite clear to say, I have a lot of opinions. I leave them outside the court.
Right. All right. Are we moving on?
Yeah, it's been such a depressing display. And I'd like to think it would backfire on the Republicans and they would lose votes in the elections.
Well, I mean, you know, in terms of backfiring, you know, we have the latest Pew poll. And again, take this with a grain of salt, but now 79% of Americans say they support protecting LGBTQ people in jobs, housing, public accommodations, including 2/3 of Republicans, 84% of Mormons, 61% of white evangelicals, and 75% of Southerners. The problem is people say this to a pollster, and then they vote for people who work against gay rights. It's not important to them.
Biden's down to his lowest approval rating yet, in spite of the great work he's been doing on the Ukraine stuff.
Most of that has to do.
Well, one good thing that came out of the sitting Supreme Court this week, they will allow to go forward a bisexual lawyer's discrimination case against Union Gospel Mission in Seattle.
Matt, this is a case brought by Matthew Wood. We have a picture of Matthew.
Yep.
He had been a volunteer with the group called, it was a homeless service group, Union Gospel Mission, for 3 years. And then they created a position for an attorney who would help the homeless out. And they said, oh, no, you're bisexual, forget it. Washington state law bans discrimination based on sexual orientation. Now, a trial court found the mission exempt, but the state high court reversed and let the suit go forward from Mr. Woods.
So the mission went to the Supreme Court to try to stop this lawsuit, and the Supreme Court said, no, the lawsuit can go forward. So we'll see how far they get with that. And speaking of politics and religion and discrimination, here in New York City, the mayor, Eric Adams, again appointed a tremendously homophobic evangelical minister to the education panel that oversees the school system. And only because the whistle was blown by, shall we say his name, gay sure. activist Alan Roscoff.
Well, I'm the one who did the research on it to give it to Roscoff.
And you.
It was easy. You know, they don't check these people out. And so then and the things she said were she was counseling a lesbian or a bisexual woman, and she had her own daughter on her lap. And then the daughter said,
3 years old.
Am I a boy or a girl? And then, oh, no, you're a girl. And then she went like this. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on.
They prayed the gay out of the girl. But she goes on and on about the sin of homosexuality, just endlessly.
Oh, comparing it to pedophilia and yes. alcoholism and drug addiction.
They wanted to put her on this public school panel.
Well, I'm alarmed because she's been an administrator in the schools and a principal for like, you know, 30 years. What was she doing? And, you know, the larger question is, what are the schools doing for gay kids? What are they really doing about integrating LGBTQ issues into curricula and all those kind of things? We want to say gay, but I don't even think it happens much in New York.
No, it doesn't. And we'd like to have an LGBTQ plus person on this panel. In the now open seat, there's pressure for that. We'll see whether it happens. Meanwhile, the mayor has just used this as a dumping ground for his associates and cronies. He's put someone on who works for the related company's construction business. He's put on a local publisher who's written puff pieces about him. He's put on charter school representatives on this public school board. Terrible.
Terrible. All right.
Right. All right.
Well,
moving on.
We're going to talk about all the don't say gay and the anti-trans. Well, we do have some good news that two Republican governors have vetoed anti-trans bills in sports. Governor Eric Holcomb of
Indiana.
Was it Indiana? Is it Indiana? Okay. vetoed a bill that would have barred trans girls and women from participating in school sports. He said it was too vague, overbroad, and maybe unconstitutional, and it addresses a non-existent issue.
Yeah, Iowa's Kim Reynolds, where they passed one of these bills.
Okay.
Eric Holcomb was very good to veto this, although he said it wasn't written correctly, so I'm not sure he's quite on our side. And the legislature can override his veto with a simple majority vote. Similarly, in Utah, Governor Spencer Cox there fulfilled his promise to veto the no trans girls in school sports bill. He did veto it. But again, it was passed so overwhelmingly by the legislature that they may override the veto. Now, these bills and all of these bills around the country are still subject to judicial challenge, and people are going to court against them. But it's very heartening to see a couple of Republican governors stand up for trans kids and say, look, we know you're just trying to be who you are, and these issues are phony.
Right.
And we do have an update from Texas and the what's going on there with that bill. Wait, where have I got that? Sorry.
The judge upheld the injunction against Governor Abbott's witch hunts.
Yes, reinstated it, yes.
Yeah, well, because he issued an injunction, and then, you know, the wicked attorney general went to court and said, you can't do this, and he upheld it. He said
that's the bill forbidding medical care for trans youth. So the injunction is reinstated, which means that they can't prosecute or investigate parents or prosecute medical facilities for giving care to these kids. But given the tenuous nature of this, you wonder whether any of those clinics that stop providing the care are going to have the guts to go back to doing it with the attorney general and the governor still pursuing this so vividly.
Speaking of trans sports, Leah Thomas, the Penn trans swimmer, won the 500-meter freestyle at the NCAA championships, didn't break any records. The TERFs were out in legions protesting at the meet. Leah didn't do any press, but a Texas swimmer, Erica Sullivan, who finished third, said, Leah was unfairly targeted. The real threats to women's sports are sexual abuse, unequal pay and resources, and a lack of women in leadership. Trans girls and women are nowhere on this list.
So Leah Thomas wins the 500-yard or 500-meter competition at the NCAA championships. That's all you hear in the news. Leah Thomas, you know, wins the NCAA championships. Well, Leah Thomas's time in that race was 9 seconds slower than Katie Ledecky's winning time 5 years ago. Katie Ledecky, the great Olympic champion. She is not an overwhelming winner. Then she competes in the 200-yard race and comes in fifth. And then she competes in the 100-yard race and comes in eighth.
Nevertheless, Martina Navratilova said the NCAA should put an asterisk next to Leah's win. She doesn't want a ban, but she wants more restrictions.
Unbelievable.
Don't forget, Martina Navratilova's tennis coach was Renee Richards, a transgender woman.
And the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, is threatening to hold a ceremony to give the second place finisher in the 500-yard race a proclamation as you're the real winner. Thanks.
I remember a nun handing out trophies at a speech tournament when she said, you're all winners.
Well, that's kind of, if only. But this whole, I think Leah Thomas has been blown up into this monster who is overwhelming everybody else. But as it turns out, for instance, in this competition, her time was not that fast when she won, and she lost these other two races. So where is the monster?
And to update the story, as we've told you already, All these sports organizations are looking at. And it's not like we don't believe in any restrictions on people who are transitioning. It's testosterone levels and time and all those kinds of things, and they're trying to iron all that out. I mean, look, stuff about excluding women in sports. I mean, I remember that in the 60s with like German women weightlifters and things, right? They would do DNA tests on them.
Because they were taking steroids and hormones to illegally or outside of Olympic rules to increase their chances of winning.
All right. Well, let's talk about what's going on
at Disney.
Well, yes, it was a walkout, as they said they would. The Disney employees walked out of work. Disney has tried to do a lot of backtracking on their failure to initially oppose the Don't Say Gay bill. And the employees aren't having it, and they really want to make a statement that it's Disney is a problem. They were also protesting that their films were being edited for gay content. And so Disney put back a lesbian kiss?
Lightyear,
which is the prequel to Toy Story.
So they scheduled this walkout for this week, and they wrote a letter to Disney management that's really terrific, asking for all sorts of support, more content in content, more support of employees, and going after funding of politicians across the U.S. who are promulgating these bad laws. And they had a list of the politicians in Florida, 15 or 20 of them, who Disney has funded, who supported this Don't Say Gay, Bi, Trans bill.
Well, Disney said, we'll do a pause on that, which means nothing.
Well, the letter is very strong.
They want an end to these contributions.
And not just in Florida, but in all these other states where this is happening. It's a terrific letter. Look that up. Disney supported or claimed to support this walkout, said it was fine with them, but there were conflicting reports. Did the unions advise not to do the walkout, or did they support it? Disney said it's okay to do the walkout, but you can't wear any Disney insignia while you're doing it.
But Disney stars are speaking out. Gabrielle Union walking the red carpet for her new Disney film, Cheaper by the Dozen, didn't hold back in going after the weak response to Don't Say Gay. She and her husband, Dwayne Wade, a former NBA star, have a trans daughter, and said, as a black woman, I wasn't shocked, but we know where hate and oppression lead. It can start with the LGBTQIA community, but if you think it's just a them problem, oh baby, you're next.
And she told Disney to put your money where your mouth is, and said anyone could be next.
And don't fund hate or oppression.
But my favorite expression of protest by Disney employees was the announcers on the the NCAA women's basketball tournament, which airs on ESPN. And the announcers, four women, two in the studio, two at courtside, all talked about the need to oppose the Florida bill and announced that they would pause their broadcast in solidarity with the LGBTQIA plus employees and people in Florida and elsewhere. And they went silent for 2 minutes in both from the studio and at courtside. And it was quite stunning. These are ESPN announcers who are right there on the air with this live broadcast. And they just said, that's it. We are standing up for this.
Well, I think it's quite stunning. I mean, you got to get serious about it. I mean, it's great to see all the sanctions against the Russians. In fact, a Russian Olympic swimmer lost his contract with Speedo because he went to Putin's rally for the war. And that money is being donated to UNHCR for refugees. But it occurs to me we need corporate sanctions against the Republican Party until they stop their campaigns against not just us, but democracy and justice.
Voting rights, abortion.
Stop funding that stuff.
Yes. They have to punish those politicians. Now, they are afraid that the politicians will turn around and punish them with higher corporate taxes or laws.
God forbid you should pay your fair share to keep this country going.
God forbid you should make that choice over human rights.
Right. All right. So 15 states are now getting billboards that say to trans people, you are loved. They're going up all over the country. We have a picture. There it is. They're going up all over the country supporting the work of a group called Have a Gay Day out of Dayton, Ohio.
Yep. And then there's something called the Southern Progress Pack that is putting up Say Gay billboards in Florida, which I think are a little more explicit.
Well, here's the point. All this, clampdown on gay people is actually creating, it's bringing us out. It's causing us to come forward. Look, we're not the ones who brought constitutional amendments about same-sex marriage. The other side did. And that meant it had to be discussed in society. And now, according to the latest poll, 68% of Americans support same-sex marriage.
Well, this is why I am hoping that there will be a backlash at the polls this fall, because we have got to do something about these people.
Well, all right. In Missouri, they're debating a bill to ban trans girls from girl sports. Very common. Republican State Senator Elaine Gannon asked a 14-year-old trans girl at the hearing, Avery Jackson, about her genitals. Are you going to go through the procedure? Jackson said. Are you going to go through the procedure? Gannon said. Jackson said, you think we're going around forcing our genitalia in people's faces? We're trying to use the bathroom. And what you want to do is not let people do that. And Jackson's mom confronted the senator. My child is so much more than genitals. And that's what we're demanding, that you see that they are more than that.
All right. Shall we hit Russia and Ukraine before we come back to more?
Well, I think we should mention the other states that you've mentioned. I mean, Georgia has a don't say gay bill for private schools, although not expected to pass due to timing. Tennessee, the bill there prohibits classroom materials that normalize controversial social issues such as LGBT lifestyles. And it was approved by a House committee. Louisiana, more extreme version of don't say gay. Prohibits discussion about sexual orientation and gender identity through the eighth grade. Florida is through three.
Now, wait a minute on that Florida thing. It is not just through three.
I know.
Florida bill, and the news media keeps saying this, and it drives me crazy. It says K through three and any other age inappropriate.
Here's the thing about age appropriate. We always want age appropriateness in curricula. So,
but that's not what they mean.
I know it's not what they mean, but the ban is through the third grade, and then it says age appropriate. But I mean, look, you want to put something on age appropriate, I'll support that. Not that bill, but we've always had to put that in there when we're talking about these things.
But that's not what this bill is. It's about giving them the right to, at any point up through high school, decide that something is anything that mentions sex is going to be considered age inappropriate by a crowd that is harassing.
It's all going to have to be decided in the end by a court. It's insane.
Yes, but it shouldn't have to go that far.
And Louisiana also, the bill prohibits teachers and others from discussing their sexual orientation or gender identity with students through the 12th grade.
Voila. And Oklahoma and Texas have more bills. They're in almost every state.
Okay. Let's go back. Let's go to Russia.
Okay. Well, Brittany Griner, the WNBA out lesbian married star, is still in detention, and her detention has been extended through May 19th, another 2 months. But the good news this week is that the U.S. Embassy has evidently been allowed to make contact with her. And that would be really terrific news if that's true.
Well, there's a big debate about, you know, some people thought, oh, we're forgetting it. We wouldn't have forgotten it if it was a male star. But the issue is, given the current climate around the war and everything, how much do you want to make her an asset to the Russians in terms of getting her out?
When the U.S. was originally denied contact with her, I thought, well, why isn't some third-party country negotiating or going and seeing her on our behalf or negotiating some situation? I don't know how this came about. I was pleasantly surprised to hear news that the U.S. Embassy had actually been allowed to make contact with
her. We need Jesse Jackson, or who's the former New Mexico governor who used to do all this?
Now we need Jimmy Carter.
Well, Jimmy does it too. Yes. There are people who have access. All right. Really sad news, or the whole thing is sad and outrageous, what's happening in the Ukraine. But one of the casualties of war is Elia Shemur, a leader of Kharkiv Pride, killed during the bombardment of the city. She was hailed as an activist and patriot of three prides and three women's solidarity marches, one of the first to join Kharkiv Defense Office, known for her inspiring and motivating all the volunteers around her. Quite a picture.
Yes. She's not actually wearing those wings.
No.
and then we were sort of taken by a little video, a selfie video by a trans woman who's a journalist who has made her way from the U.S. to Ukraine to report from there. And we have just a snippet of video from her in Kharkiv, Sarah Ashton Cirillo.
This is Sarah Ashton reporting live from Kharkiv, Ukraine. War is real. War is very real. We must do better. NATO, United States, we must do better.
She has covered displaced people in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, and several African nations, as well as the EU for its failures to integrate refugees. She drove 1,000 kilometers across the Ukraine to cover the war. She came to cover refugees, and now she's covering a war.
I read something she wrote today about her difficulty of travel because her passport is in her old identity.
Right.
And she has all sorts of updated driver's license and documents and whatever confirming her current identity. But she had to go through a whole rigmarole at every border she crossed, every plane she got on, every train she got on. But she got people in Poland, people in the U.S., people in Ukraine to walk through that and recognize and affirm her. And so now she is legally and officially in Ukraine covering the war.
And it will come as no shock whatsoever, but there's an AIDS aspect to this. HIV clinics are shuttered in Kharkiv and Mariupol. The war is creating a crisis in HIV, tuberculosis, hepatitis C, opioid addiction, et cetera. Go ahead.
Good news from the Biden administration, which has announced it will expedite resettlement of LGBTQ people from Ukraine in the U.S. They don't necessarily expect everyone to stay, but they will provide refuge and asylum until it's safe to go back there. And they're also giving priority to other activists and journalists from Ukraine.
Now, the out gay Congressmember Richie Torres from the Bronx, we've had him on the show, introduced a bill requiring U.S. companies to disclose whether they're doing business in Russia. He wants to name and shame them and isolate Putin's regime as a pariah state. But it would also require the same disclosure on firms that do business with, quote, any country that has invaded another country or annexed territory of another country. Now, that could include Israel, the UK, the United States, India, and a lot of other places in our fractured world.
Yes, it could. Are we ready to come back to the U.S.?
Yes.
All right. Well, sad news from Evanston, Illinois, where trans activist Elise Mallory has been found dead. The cause of death is not known yet. She was found in Lake Michigan. She was a very well-known activist. The governor put out a notice talking about the heartbreaking loss of Elise. She was 31 years old. She had worked in the Civil Rights Bureau of the Attorney General of Illinois. Sad and mysterious case at this point.
She was also on the board of something called the Chicago Therapy Collective. She'd been a valued, just really a tremendous loss. And in Canton, Georgia, a 19-year-old Asian-American trans woman with mental health issues, Katie Newhouse, we have her picture as well, was murdered by her father in their family home. The father then turned down on himself. Katie was an advocate for trans rights. The father had been arrested for assaulting her some time ago, but was just put into a diversion program, and now they're both dead.
In Miami, Florida, an out gay police officer, Tommy Reyes, was being robbed by a Grindr date he had met. They were in Tallahassee. And as the date was trying to rob him, Tommy, a police officer, pulled his gun on him. Tommy has now been fired for pulling his gun on the Grindr date who was trying to rob him.
Yes. In Texas, a librarian in Llano County, Suzette Baker, was fired for not removing books from the shelves, including one about growing up trans. She said, "It may not be my book, it may not be your book, but it could be someone else's book, and we have no right to take that book away from them." She was fired.
I'm very fond of librarians. In New York, we told you last week about vocal coach Barbara Meyer-Gustern, who is a legendary vocal coach in New York, with 87 years old. Worked with Taylor Mack, Debbie Harry, the cast of Oklahoma, every cabaret singer in New York for decades, and was out of nowhere shoved to the ground by someone and died 5 days later of her head injuries. Well, they have now finally found and arrested the alleged perpetrator, a 26-year-old woman, from Astoria, Queens, who was hiding out in her parents' house in Long Island.
The woman, we're not quite sure what happened, but she shouted an epithet at Barbara and then shoved her to the ground. And then she continued to have a fight with her fiancé.
A block away, and then came back and watched the ambulance pick up Barbara and take her to the hospital.
It's just awful. There is a memorial. There's a funeral, I guess, memorial service for Barbara at 2 p.m. on Saturday at the Church of the Holy Apostles.
On 9th Avenue and
27th Street. Yes.
Yeah. And this this woman who is accused is does she have mental health issues? What is her story? She crossed the street to shove Barbara.
Right.
Okay.
Jussie Smollett, update, released from his 150-day sentence pending appeal. And now one of his lawyers who attacked the brothers, who said that Jussie hired them to attack him, could have been wearing whiteface, is being sued by them. The federal judge, Mary Rowland, ruled that the Tina Gladian's remark could have defamed the Asundairo brothers.
And Jussie was let out because, of course, his sentence would have been long served and over by the time this appeal gets decided. In Jonesport, Maine, the Maine Human Rights Commission has issued a decision that the Sunrise Assisted Living facility discriminated against a trans woman, Marie King, 78 years old, by refusing her a bed at the facility. It was going to be in a room shared with another woman, and they just wouldn't do it. And now she has found a space in another assisted living facility, but the Sunrise facility has been condemned by the Human Rights Commission.
Let's go to Kentucky. Remember Kim Davis? Put her picture up there. The county clerk who refused a gay couple a marriage license in 2015. There she is. Now, Judge Bunning, the federal judge, finally ruled that she violated the constitutional rights of, we have a picture of them, David Ermond and David Moore. Ermond said, it feels like 7 years of legal purgatory. And now the question is, will a jury hold her financially responsible for the insensitive and irrational legal mess that she created, he said. Damages and legal fees could total the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Liberty Counsel says she's not responsible because the legislature and former Governor Bevin granted her a religious accommodation.
Well, please, can't we all just get along?
All right.
Well, in that vein, Andrew Cuomo refuses to quit the stage. Our former governor of New York, who is a slimy piece of work, go ahead, sue me for defamation, is now hanging out with fringe right-wingers, in this case, Ruben Diaz Sr.
There he is, the two of them. I mean, Ruben Diaz Sr. is the leading anti-LGBTQ activist in the city.
For at least 30 years.
So his spokesperson says, well, we won't stand for intolerance of any kind. Yeah. And that is exactly what you're standing for. Then he said, no one can credibly question the governor's commitment to the LGBTQ community. This is me you're talking to. I've known you since you were 19 years old, Andrew, and you were a big problem then, and you've been a problem over the years until you got religion and you worked for same-sex marriage.
Very, very late and under extreme
pressure. Well, now Cuomo is threatening to run third party for governor, which would deliver the election to Lee Zeldin, an anti-LGBTQ MAGA supporter.
Well, and he'd probably be very happy about that because he'd be doing it out of spite.
It's exactly.
Well, he was challenged about speaking at Ruben Diaz Sr.'s church. Ruben Diaz regularly rounds up his congregation, puts them in buses, and takes them to hateful rallies. And Andrew Cuomo said, well, I work with people I don't agree with.
Yeah, but you don't hold their hands and smile. Yeah. That's not, you know, that's expressing solidarity.
So how do we feel about this NYPD thing of LGBTQ cops can now self-identify in department forms and stuff?
I think everybody should be able to self-identify on their forms if they choose to. And the fact is, a lot of laws were passed in New York to collect data on people that the city is serving. They're supposed to ask them, well, what's your sexual orientation and what's your gender identity? The agencies don't do it. They don't follow the law. And it's not Mayor Adams. It's Mayor de Blasio and previous mayors who won't comply with the law.
All right, a little piece of good news in New York City. The New York Yankees and the Stonewall Inn have announced that applications are open for their $10,000 college scholarship. There will be one winner per borough. That's five scholarships, $10,000 for college. I don't know what the criteria are. But I think you have to be an LGBTQ activist or supporter.
Seattle Pride has dumped Amazon as a sponsor because Amazon donated $450,000 to Congress members who voted against the Equality Act, and they allowed donations to 40 anti-LGBTQ organizations with their Amazon Smile program. Well, when you start getting rid of corporate sponsors because of bad donations, it's going to be everybody, probably.
Well, that's what we've been saying, and that's why we do the Queer Liberation March without corporate sponsors and just for the people.
The Navajo Nation Council introduced a bill to recognize same-sex marriage and acknowledges the sacred role of LGBTQ and Two-Spirit community and their contribution to the Navajo Nation.
And good news from North Carolina. Have you read the story about the gay dog who got returned to the pound by its homophobic owner? It was a male dog.
Was humping its... another male dog. So
it is sometimes sexual and sometimes not.
So Steve Nichols and his longtime partner, John, who say they've experienced anti-gay discrimination themselves, stepped up and adopted the pooch, giving him the new name Oscar in honor of Oscar Wilde. They're now nursing Oscar back to health because the homophobic owners were mean to him.
They hadn't neutered him, and he had heartworms. So agency that had custody screened potential adopters by asking if they would provide medical care. And Steve and John said, of course we would. Okay. And in San Francisco, GLBT history group has put out a new online tour of the Del Martin and Phyllis Lyon house that you can see by going to glbthistory.org, Lyon Martin House. It's this whole 3D thing where they walk you through the house and they have audio of various people, including Del and Phyllis, talking about the house and how it was a place where the Daughters of Bilitis was created. It's very good. I watched the whole thing.
When I took the tour of FDR's house upstate, Eleanor gives the tour. Eleanor Roosevelt is on the thing giving.
Really?
I thought
she was gone.
Well, she was recorded, and she gives the tours.
Okay. Back to international news.
While we lament that two United Kingdom overseas possessions, Bermuda and the Cayman Islands, don't have marriage equality, Peter Tatchell, the great activist over there in England, reminds us that 35 of 54 British Commonwealth countries still criminalize homosexual acts. We have a picture of Peter. He was threatened with arrest for holding a protest placard about it outside Westminster Abbey, where the annual Commonwealth service was held on March 14th. The cops moved him to the other side of the road, so he shouted his protest through a megaphone to the world leaders to the point that it could be heard inside the cathedral.
Yes, that sounds very nice.
That'll show you.
And I don't know if you've been following this, but Prince William and his wife, Kate Middleton, are touring the Caribbean Commonwealth territories. And they're running into protests against the crown and demands for independence in places like Belize and Jamaica.
Go for it. You can still be independent and be part of the Commonwealth, though.
I wonder if any of these laws would change in those countries if they made themselves more independent. In Colombia, a non-binary person, Tamara Argote, has been elected to the House of Representatives. Five LGBTQ people have been elected to the House, and one bisexual woman was reelected to the Senate. So Colombia is getting a lot of representation in their legislature.
Not so in Kosovo. The parliament overwhelmingly rejected civil unions for same-sex couples. The vote was 28-92 against same-sex unions. The bill was proposed by the left-wing prime minister, Albin Kurti, but he lost it. This is a Muslim-majority country, and it would have been the first if they did civil unions. And did we finish up with Guatemala last week?
I think at the very end of the show, we had a bulletin. So
yeah, they tabled a bill to ban same-sex marriage and define a family as a man and a woman who are raising children together. And that vote was 119 to 19. The president, Giamatte, sent it back for review, saying it violated international treaties. The Congress did approve a bill, however, imposing up to 10 years in prison for having an abortion.
Oh, they did, because I was going to say that was part of that original bill, too, that had passed. We had reported on it passing, but just as we were going off the air last week, news came that the bill, the omnibus bill, had been withdrawn. All right. Do you have any AIDS news beyond our?
I don't.
Yeah, neither do I. So let's move to entertainment news. I watched the Andy Warhol Diaries on Netflix. At first, it took me a while to get to it because I wasn't sure I wanted to see it. But it really drew me in, and I found it really fascinating. There's a lot of footage of him that certainly I had never seen. And it really humanized him in a way and took him out of being just an iconic figure. It really brought you into his humanity.
He was very shy.
Exactly. But not, well, that's his reputation. But when you start looking at this footage, you see that he was much more animated and three-dimensional than you would think from his reputation.
Did they get into any of his boyfriends?
Yes, absolutely.
Did they mention Emery Hetrick of the Hetrick Martin Institute?
They did not. Look, he had lots of sexual partners. I don't know whether he had a real relationship with Emery. Did he?
They had relations.
That's not good enough. What he had was a long-term relationship with a guy who worked at Paramount Pictures. They were together for years. He previously, another guy whose name I've forgotten now, and he and Jean-Michel Basquiat were close for many years, and he was a mentor to Basquiat, and they worked together, they did projects together, and had a very poignant kind of relationship. So I really would recommend the Andy Warhol Diaries on Netflix as something worth watching.
Okay. All right, the Oscars are this weekend. If you need help filling out your ballot, check out goldderby.com, run by our friend Tom O'Neill. I finally watched The Eyes of Tammy Faye all the way through on HBO. And Jessica Chastain is favored for Best Actress.
I can't imagine that she's not my choice.
Not my choice either. I like Olivia Colman in The Lost Daughter. But it does show
her. I like
her,
someone else. I can't remember who on that.
It does show her interviewing a gay man, Steven Peters. And at the end of the film, you leave this guy with AIDS that she put on her religious show is still living, which is nice to hear. It shows her speaking up for gay people in front of Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell. And it also shows Tammy and Jim cheating on each other. An out actress, of course, Cherry Jones, plays Tammy's very stern mother. And Andrew Garfield is Jim, and they include his homosexual affairs as well. And I didn't realize, Jim is back on the air at 82 doing the same stuff. He went to prison for a while for fraud, and people still keep giving these people money.
There's a lot of wishful thinking going on in the world, and people think that they're going to gain salvation. People who are not happy with their current lives turn to religion. Here I am overgeneralizing, for hope for a better life after death. And so they continue to contribute and to support these religious figures because they give them the promise of that, a better life.
A bulletin just read that former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright has died at 84.
Oh.
Yeah.
We went to the same high school.
Oh.
In Denver.
Back to Tammy Faye.
I could say that to her, but I never did.
Back to Tammy Faye. Elton John is working on a musical about Tammy with a book by the great playwright James Graham, who does a lot of political stories over there. It's set to open in London this fall. So that must be a fascinating topic for people who like bad makeup.
Well, sure. I did not enjoy the movie. Do you have the list of the Best Actress nominees handy?
No. Oh, wait a minute, actually.
I'm trying to remember who my pick was.
Where's my ballot?
It wouldn't. It wasn't Nicole Kidman in the Lucy and Ricky movie. Well, I like provoking Andy to have to get up out of his chair and look for his ballot.
I have a ballot around here, and I gave you one.
You did, and I just used it as scrap paper.
Well, you talk, and I'll talk about something, and I'll look it up.
All right, you find it, or look it up online. So here, well, I want to emphasize my recommendation of the Andy Warhol Diaries on Netflix, but I came across something else that's airing on Here TV, which I do not have, and I have not seen this, only the trailer, but it's a documentary called 100 Years of Men in Love, The Accidental Collection. And it's about two guys who came across a picture, a very old picture of two men in a very romantic pose. And they thought, oh, my God, look at this from 100 years ago. I can't believe this exists. Right. And they went along and they started finding these pictures everywhere. And so they assembled this huge collection. And this documentary is now running on Here TV. And from what little I saw, it looked extremely charming and fascinating, and you might want to check it out if you have Here TV.
Now, so tell me who you want and tell me who you think is going to win.
Okay.
Jessica Chastain, Eyes of Tammy Faye, Olivia Colman, Lost Daughter, out lesbian Kristen or bisexual Kristen Stewart, or Spencer, Diana, playing Lady Diana, Nicole Kidman being the Ricardos, and Penelope Cruz for, well,
Parallel Mothers.
Madres Paralelas.
Parallel Mothers. A film I'm dying to see and haven't gotten to yet because it's only in theaters. I loved Kristen Stewart and Spencer. It's
You loved it.
I did. It's very idiosyncratic. It's very weird. But I'm crazy about her, and I thought she did a great job. I'd love to see her win.
What's that static coming from?
I don't hear any static.
Okay. All right.
Who's going to win? I don't know.
Outfest Fusion in L.A. is April 8th through 17th. 10 days. Go to outfestfusion.com. 40th anniversary. They have in-person stuff and they have online stuff. Lots of films.
And I would continue to recommend My Brilliant Friend on HBO. You can catch up with it on HBO Max and HBO On Demand. And it is just... it makes me so happy every time Monday rolls around and I get to watch another chapter of My Brilliant Friend.
And I finished watching The Gilded Age, and it was so predictable. That was my problem with it.
I liked
to be surprised, though. Broadway Cares, back in the theaters with their red buckets to collect donations at Broadway and touring shows. They're not going to do the two-day Easter bonnet competition this year. That'll remain in hiatus till April of 2023. They recently sent $300,000 in emergency grants for crisis relief in the Ukraine. But Broadway Bears returns in person on June 26th.
All right. Can we wrap up?
We're down to our last 20 seconds.
I want to thank Malik for sitting in to direct the show this week. Say get well soon to Richard, our regular director. And we're done, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.